Our first Bible reading this morning comes from Acts 8, reading verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to be slaughtered, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Then Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We're currently doing a series looking at how we can place evangelism at the core of what we're on about as Christians and as the church. So far, we've been reminded that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the best and most important news ever. This is because God has made forgiveness of sins and eternal life possible through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has passed on to us the responsibility and authority to share the good news. So far, we've done some groundwork before we even get to looking at how we do share it. Over the last two Sundays which I've preached, we looked at how we need to be continually fed on every word from the mouth of God. And the way we do this is through spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are those activities where we intentionally spend time with God to draw near to Him. And we looked at the importance of knowing the gospel inside and out. We have to move towards mastering the gospel and not just be satisfied with having a vague understanding. This is important so that we are confident and familiar with it, so that when it does come time to share, we will be as prepared and equipped as we possibly can be. Today, we're kind of adding on to what I said last time, and we'll be looking at doing preparation, and a preparation which will help us be prepared to share the gospel in one of the most effective ways that we can. This preparation is to have a good understanding of at least a few key stories which can help us show how Jesus is relevant for our lives today and how he can help us through life. The reality of living in this world is that it can be confusing and difficult. Most, if not all, people are wrestling with difficult issues in their lives, or they have some questions that they can't make sense of. In our Bible readings from Acts, we find an Ethiopian eunuch who is trying to understand a passage of Scripture which he can't make sense of. Philip is directed by the Holy Spirit to go to the south road out of Jerusalem so that he can share the gospel with this very important and influential official from Ethiopia. This Ethiopian eunuch has gotten himself a copy of the scroll of Isaiah and trying to understand the passage on the suffering servant. The Ethiopian is reading this passage aloud, trying to make sense of it. Is it about himself or is there about someone else? And so Philip, hearing the Ethiopian eunuch wrestling aloud with this passage, seizes the opportunity to explain the gospel starting with this passage in the scriptures. The reason why the Ethiopian official was so open to Philip's sharing of the gospel was because Philip was answering the question the Ethiopian official was interested in and was wrestling with. And from answering that question, he's then able to explore more of the gospel. When people are wrestling with or having to deal with a particular issue or question, they have a vested interest in wanting to know the answer, in exploring the solutions. It's important to them. And so if we know this about someone, we don't have to guess what might be a good way to share the gospel, which in a way that they might be interested in. Because if a person is willing to share with you something they're wondering about or struggling with, they're asking you for help. They want to know, do you have something which might help them or point them in the right direction? And they're interested in what you might have to contribute. People don't just open themselves up and make themselves vulnerable to other people without reason. So long as they aren't strongly anti-religious or strongly anti-Christian, they'll probably hear you out at least. So when it comes to sharing an important principle, and not just in sharing but also in teaching, an important principle is to start from where the person you're sharing with or you're teaching, you start from where they are at. And then you move on from there. And so in this case, when we're talking about the gospel, we move from where they're at with the questions and the concerns that they have And we move from there to how the gospel interacts with their questions, their understandings, their struggles, to a full exploration of the gospel. This is what Philip does. This is something that we'll be doing in more detail as well in subsequent weeks, looking at this idea of meeting someone where they're at and progressing from there. However, for now, we will focus on the need for us to do preparation. To do some preparation work so that we are better equipped when we're given a situation where we can respond to someone with their questions or what they're struggling with in life. We know that Jesus is the answer to all our questions about our humanity, both as a human race and as individual human beings. But non-Christians, of course, do not know Jesus as the answer to the questions about life and our humanity. They don't know about how he answers these questions about our life and how and our humanity. So how do we connect people and their questions and struggles with Jesus and the answer he provides? Well, one way we can do it is by looking at the stories of Jesus as he encounters all manner of people with all manner of needs. I've heard Christians use the phrase, "Jesus is the answer," when speaking to non-Christians. And it's true. Jesus is the answer. However, after stating this and not offering any reason for how Jesus is the answer when you're talking to a non-Christian, I don't think it would really have much impact. I understand why someone would say that. Maybe because A, it's true, and B, maybe you don't really understand how Jesus is the answer to certain issues people are facing. But however, if you're going to state that and then not offer any reason for how Jesus is the answer, I really don't think it helps much. People want answers to questions and they want help to get through difficult issues they face. Simply making such a statement without anything to back it up really isn't much use. When we look at Jesus in the stories of the Bible doesn't just show Jesus saying, "I'm the answer," and that's it. Without Jesus meeting some need. Jesus is always meeting with people in the midst of their messed up lives, in their struggles, and then meet the needs of that person or those people, or in some tangible way, whether that be emotional, psychological, physical, whatever it is. From this meeting of the needs of people, as we read those stories, as Jesus meets their needs, we learn how Jesus is the answer. The answer to our lives and to our humanity. And it is the connecting this how Jesus is the answer with the questions and struggles people have which can reveal that Jesus is still relevant and important for people in their lives. Now, ideally, I would want us all to have a firm grasp of most, if not every, encounter Jesus had with people as it's recorded in the Bible. And this is clearly something I think that we should strive towards in the longer term. However, if you don't have that sort of understanding, I want to give you some encouragement, which won't seem too difficult to achieve in the short to medium term. So what I want you to do is to get to know a few key stories where Jesus meets people's needs, to know them, to know them well, to know where they are in the Bible, so that you can read them to the person, show them where they are in the Bible, And so you're not just scrambling, trying to find it and not being able to find it, and then you might not exactly remember every detail and all the important details. I want you to know the stories, and I want you for these particular stories that you remember, that you memorize, where they are. Now, we can't possibly know every issue people are facing, or every question which people are going to have about life. However, there are some very common issues that people wrestle with, and so stories which deal with these issues or questions are where we can focus our attention. The idea is if we do this, then we will know a small collection of stories about Jesus through which we can introduce people to Jesus, which will connect with where they are at if they're having some of these common issues or questions. Connect those with Jesus. So as we talk to people, we can go, this reminds me of that story where Jesus met with such and such and said this or did this. And we can share that. So what are some of the most common issues people face in regard to our humanity and difficulties of life? I want you to do some thinking. Halifax came up with some good ones in addition to my list. I challenge you that I'm going to serve up my little list here, but as I found out in Halifax, it is by no means an exhaustive list. There are some really good ones that are not on here. So, a bit of a challenge. Here are some ones that I just came up with though. Loss of loved ones. Struggles with personal guilt. Being let down or being betrayed or feeling abandoned. Struggling under burdens. The world pulled out from under people's feet. Thinking God could never accept or forgive them. Not being good enough. Hurt and abuse suffered at the hands of others. So, what are some other common issues that you know people struggle with? Or questions they wrestle with? Good, our aging bodies. Good one. Addiction. Yep, good one.
Uncertainty,
not knowing where to go, which direction to take. Very good. There's some good ones. So then I want us to think about what are some good stories about Jesus which connect with these questions and issues. Now for my list, I came up with these stories. The woman at the well. The parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the good Samaritan. Jesus saying, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus saying to his disciples that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' teachings on building our house on him, the rock. Jesus healing. Any number of healings, of course, but one that came to mind was Jesus healing the crippled man at the pool of Siloam. Jesus healing the lepers. Jesus forgiving the criminal dying on the cross next to him. And Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them, while dying on the cross. And I'm sure we can come up with some others as well. But also, I want to add to that list, today's gospel reading from Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. And in here, we read of a woman who was known to be sinful. When she hears about Jesus coming to where she lives, she decides to honor Jesus, but she's also racked with guilt for her living in this sinful lifestyle. We don't know what exactly she did, but she knew that it was wrong, and so did everyone else. But for some reason, she lived in it anyway. I think it's actually quite good in this story that it doesn't describe what the particular sin is. Because then this story can relate to anyone who is living in a sinful lifestyle or has done something sinful which they have deep regret about. The good and respectable people of society reject this woman because of her sinfulness. They don't want to get her filthiness on them. And they won't let her near them. But Jesus does not prevent her from getting close to him and touching him. He allows her to be near. He has no concern about her filth and her sinfulness being near him. And instead of rebuking her or even pushing her away, he accepts her. He isn't repulsed by her sinfulness, but receives her as his follower. She is not dishonored by Jesus, but honored and praised. And honored and praised above a respected man in her community. But she is aware of her unworthiness to be in Jesus' presence. And because of this, she was willing to embarrass herself in order to honor Jesus. She was willing to humble herself before him. She was willing to do something costly in buying the perfume for Jesus. And she was sorry for her sins. And Jesus, in response, forgives her of her sins and gives her his peace. What a wonderful story. If you're faced with a person who knows they've been living far from God, or who is rejected by others, who is struggling with guilt of their past sins or their sinful lifestyle, or unable to believe that God could forgive them, the story of Jesus and this woman shows that Jesus is willing to love, accept, forgive, remove guilt, no longer hold sins against us, and honor anyone who comes to him and repents of their sins. Stories of Jesus' encounters with real people is what we find in the Bible. People facing real issues. And these are analogues for people facing real issues today. And they're powerful in their ability to reveal deep truths about who Jesus is, how he answers the questions of our life and humanity, and why he is important to have in our lives. And another thing about stories is that often you find that one good story can cover many points of pain and struggles and questions people may have. You might be telling the story for, you might show them the story for, to answer one thing, but it might answer a whole series of other things as well that you don't even know about. So get to know some really good stories and teachings of Jesus, like those I've mentioned, which will help people in those common areas where we question and struggle. Know where they are in the Bible so that you can show them and read the stories to people. And if they have a Bible, that way they can go and reread it themselves. And maybe after rereading that story, they'll continue on reading. People want answers to questions and they want assistance to help them get through the difficulties of life. Jesus meets those questions and difficulties, and so it's important to know at least a few key stories really well so that we are more prepared to help introduce people to Jesus and how he can help to answer their questions about life and humanity, as well as help them to face those difficulties that they struggle with in life. Through doing a little preparation in this way, you will be greatly increasing your ability to share the gospel in a way which is meaningful and impactful. And you never know, you might even get someone to want to be baptized then and there, just like Philip was able to when he responded to the questions of the Ethiopian eunuch. Amen.